And in fact, I mentioned that there was an announcement made by the Premier Gladys Berejiklian, Attorney General Mark Speakman, and my next guest, the New South Wales Minister for Counterterrorism, David Elliott, about new laws to protect us, the New South Wales community, from potential terrorists. And this is ahead of a special COAG meeting on counterterrorism, which is on in Canberra today. Joining me now with more on the announcement by the New South Wales government is David Elliott, who is our New South Wales Minister for Counterterrorism, and he is on the line. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Richard.
Now, the difference in these, I gather, you're going to take action against any prisoner who poses a terror risk at the completion of their sentence. Is that correct, David?
Well, that's right. I mean, these laws exist already for very violent rapists, sex offenders, and people have been guilty of domestic violence. And the Commonwealth has also got a similar scheme. But essentially what we're saying to the community is that we accept at the end of a sentence, some people have not been rehabilitated, and in the case of terrorist offenders, they may not have been de-radicalised. In fact, right around the world, Western democracies are really struggling to identify how to de-radicalise people that are incarcerated. As a result, we're saying that if there is sufficient evidence to suggest that somebody would leave jail at the end of their sentence and essentially go straight back to being somebody who wants to cause harm to our community, wants to engage in terrorist activity or terrorist-like activity, well, then we would collect that evidence, go to the Supreme Court, and see if we could get a continuing detention order for up to 5 years.
And is it the case that, in fact, some prisoners become more radicalised after their time in prison?
Well, there's no real evidence of that happening en masse at the moment. There have been conversions in jail, but that's because people will go into jail without any faith, and jail is a place for many of reflection and contemplation, and they have access to chaplains, whether they be Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, or Jewish, and they may find faith while they're there, and that's quite different. But the concept of being radicalised in jail has occurred, but it's not en masse. So in reality, I don't think that these rules will have a great effect on a great number of people. But really, I would be horrified if, certainly under my tenure as the Minister for Corrections and Minister for Counterterrorism, that we let somebody out at the end of a sentence knowing full well that they hadn't been rehabilitated or de-radicalised and then went and committed further atrocities. I don't think that is a responsible place for a Minister for Corrections to be.
Right, and at the moment, well, you're changing it, aren't you? Rather than keeping all terrorist prisoners together, you're actually separating them?
No, that was a report in a media outlet a couple of weeks ago, which was actually incorrect, where we have Supermax being built, we have Supermax being operated in Goulburn. That is where the vast majority of the terrorists are, we've just announced a further 47 million dollars, which will see increased capabilities.
2HD, it's 12 past 8. My guest is New South Wales Counterterrorism Minister and Corrections Minister David Elliott. Look, a number of people have offered a bit of criticism of this particular plan. The Australian National University's Dr. Clark Jones, and this is his research field, he's said there are some real dangers in the plan, including a lack of any good concept of radicalisation and de-radicalisation. He said that the government works on a tool that he thinks hasn't been tested out there amongst mental health professionals and psychologists and psychiatrists. He said he thinks a lot more work needs to be done.
Well, while I expect any academic, the advice that I take from people who work day in, day out in the facilities, in the courts, in the jails, and I take my advice from the police and other intelligence agencies. So I'm comfortable that this legislation certainly these amendments are warranted. I don't like them. No politician, certainly on my political flavour, likes introducing new laws. But I think, as I said, even if somebody has got mental health issues, if those mental health issues mean that they are going to go out and commit an atrocity in the main street of Newcastle, well, then I've got a moral obligation as your Minister for Corrections to make sure that person is continued inside a jail.
And Upper House Greens MP David Shoebridge has also said that offenders might cop a bit of extra time in jail based simply on a prison officer taking a dislike to it.
I don't want to sound too political, Richard, but that is just typical crap from the Greens. We have judicial oversight in this, Richard. We have deliberately placed the Supreme Court as the final arbiter on this. It's not going to come down to a corrections officer having some sort of beef with an inmate. The advice we take is not just from the corrections officers. The corrections officers work hand in glove with other combat agencies, with our intelligence agencies. And when collectively we gather the brief of evidence, then we still have to go to the Supreme Court. So if the critics from the Greens have a problem with the Supreme Court, they should say so. But that's certainly a misunderstanding from the Greens about what this policy is about.
2HD, it's 8:15. David, look, we're fully aware of the fact that more and more people are ending up in our jails, hence they're getting bigger and bigger. And one just up the road here in Cessnock will, if the plan goes to schedule, I think become the biggest in terms of inmates, prison in New South Wales. Is that all going to schedule, the expansion of the Cessnock Corrective?
I'm very happy with the way that the expansion is set up with a rapid build prison. It's going to take a great load off the prison population that is at capacity at the moment. We make no apologies for that because, you know, we've got crime rates at record lows at the moment. We've got a police force which is enjoying record resources and certainly thanks to technology and the professionals of New South Wales Police. We're getting wonderful results when it comes to the war on crime in New South Wales. But the downside is for me is the person that has to incarcerate those criminals is that I've got to find more jail cells. So Cessnock has been fantastic as a host to the jail for many, many years. Yes, there will be an expansion with the rapid build, but that also creates hundreds of more jobs. And I've met with people that are taking those new jobs in Cessnock, and I'm very much looking forward to getting up there for the opening and thanking the community for the wonderful work that they've done in building it, but also the way that the community just embraces the fact that this is a necessary piece of infrastructure. My mother's a Cessnock girl, so I know the town pretty well. But I've also got when I've had people raise concerns about the jail, I've got one 1,500 metres from my back door in Western Sydney. So, and I've never even known it's there. So they actually are a good, healthy piece of infrastructure which can create a significant and stable amount of economic activity.
And finally, the COAG meeting on counter-terrorism, which is on in Canberra today, lots been said about the fact that New South Wales is at the moment the only state that is able to hold people without charging on suspected terrorism matters for up to 14 days. You're of the opinion that all states should fall into line with New South Wales, David?
Well, I think it was the Premier or maybe the Attorney General yesterday said that, terrorism doesn't stop at a state border. Unfortunately, our borders, fortunately, I think our state borders aren't unadministered. You can cross them freely, which means that, we've got offenders and we've had offences on borders. You may recall that there was a terrible murder in Queen Vianne not long ago, which related to some terrorist type charges. So, or certainly the investigation, had terrorist links to it. So, a terrorist flavour to it. So I think that, I think this is a safe way for a country like Australia to approach investigation and incarceration pre-trial, pre-charge. And I think that it gives, as the police commissioner said yesterday, it gives the police the flexibility to make sure they thoroughly investigate somebody before they charge them with the appropriate offences.
Thanks for your time, David. Have a great day.